Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, January the 4th. Pretty good weekend, especially for the Sixers. You know, the Sixers right now, y'all, are 5-1. And we're going to talk about the 76ers record right about now. What should we expect? Are we hyping them up a little bit too much? You know, the whole nine. Now, here's the deal, y'all. So, you know, in Philadelphia, and I'm a Philadelphian, and I know the deal. Like, I've since moved to South Jersey when I moved back into the area in 2004. But I'm straight from Tackawanna Street, from Frankfurt, the whole nine. So, if some people say, hey, man, you're not from Philly no more. Look, dude, it's the Philly area. I grew up in Philly, in the city. This is the Philly area, South Jersey, Delaware, southeastern Pennsylvania. We're all the same, right? So listen, what we tend to do is we tend to overhype our teams. We tend to overreact to our teams. For instance, the Sixers go out there and they get string together a couple big wins, then all of a sudden the Sixers are favored to win the NBA championship in our eyes, the eyes of Philadelphians. If the Sixers lose two games in a row, the coach needs to be fired. The players need to be traded. They're overpaid, the whole nine. There's no in-between with us, right? So right now, you look at the 76ers. They're 5-1. That's the best record in the NBA right now. The best record in the NBA. Their lone loss came to the Cleveland Cavaliers on a night that Joel Embiid didn't play. With that being said, there are some people out there saying, yes, championship or bust, baby. Joel Embiid is going to be MVP, baby, the whole nine. Now, if they lose a couple games, then the same people are going to say, we question Joel Embiid's shape. Doc Rivers is no different than Brett Brown, the whole nine. That's just what we do. That's what Philadelphians do, right? I'm not being critical. I'm not doing anything. Like I said, I grew up in Frankfurt. I live in the area. I just know how we are, right? Well, let's break this whole thing down. In the first segment, we're going to talk about, you know, what does it really mean with the Sixers schedule, right? We're also going to talk about certain players and see, you know, how they have been contributing. And if they can keep this thing up, everything will be great, right? The third segment, you know how I do. For first-time listeners to this podcast, what I typically do is I typically break it down, or some things that come to my mind while I'm talking, and we break it down. We talk about it in the third segment, right? But before I get started, I just want to let y'all know that this is the only podcast that covers the Sixers that comes to you 5 days a week. That's number one. Number two, in addition to being the host of the Locked On 76ers podcast, I'm also the beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer who covers the team. So in addition to going here, you can get some information at Inquirer.com on your Sixers. You can also follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. The same thing for Instagram, Pompey on Sixers. But look, when you look at the 76ers record, right, 5-1. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like things are starting to click. And I will give Seth Curry some credit because a couple weeks ago, what he said is, this is kind of like an extended training camp for us. Like, we're learning each other as we're going along. It seems like they're starting to get a good feel for each other. Because Lord knows, early on, yes, they were, at one particular point, they were, 3-1, but they were some ugly wins, if that makes sense for you. It was like, you know, guys weren't shooting the ball well. They got a lot of open shots. Shots just weren't falling. The defense looked shabby at times. At other times, it looked good. But it was one of those things where it was like, but they were still being able to win games. But they didn't look impressive. So much so to where certain people were questioning, like, oh my gosh, what's going on with this team, right? Now, what's going on? Now, I know that the schedule is about to get tough. I mean, yes, what they're going to do is they're going to play the Charlotte Hornets tonight. And then on Wednesday, they have the Washington Wizards. And then starting on Thursday, when they go to Brooklyn, they're going to have, of their next 11 games, six of these teams are going to be phenomenal. Like, great teams. Like, you're going to have Brooklyn. You're going to have Denver. You're going to have Miami twice. You're going to have Boston twice. Well, heck, more than six. I mean, then you have Atlanta. And then you have the Lakers. So you have all these teams that are going to be phenomenal in their next eight games, starting with Wednesday. But I'm here to say, like, right now, the Sixers are showing us that the system that they have is pretty good. Meaning they have the shooters, right? Now, again, I don't know if they're any better than Brooklyn, if they're any better than the Hawks, Boston Celtics, Miami. We'll figure all that out. Well, it will announce itself to us when they play. But right now, you can see what Doc Rivers is trying to do, and you can see the way guys are blending together, mixing together. Now, the one thing that we do know is that they're better than the Orlando Magic. They're better than the Charlotte Hornets. Now, again, I do expect Charlotte to come out harder and play better the second time around, just because it's like, hey, you don't want to be embarrassed. And also, they played at a tempo where the Sixers struggled. Now, the one thing is, right now, what the Sixers are doing is, to me, these first eight games are kind of like a preseason. It's like a time that where they can get a feel and see what's happening. Now, the hurt piece, to me, is not having Mike Scott, not having Furkan Korkmaz. Because these are guys who are going to be vital to your success moving forward. Let's face it. The bench, what happens is the Sixers bench, a lot of people say the bench is strong. The bench is young. So you need these veteran type guys. Like, you know Furkan's going to come in and get shots. You know what Mike Scott is going to bring to you. He brings a toughness. He brings an ability to make big shots. Now you have to worry about these young guys. You're putting these young guys in there. And sometimes when you give people, we all say, let's give them a lot of minutes. But when you give them so many minutes, then they start making mistakes. They start getting exposed, right? So that's where we are. But I'm here to tell you, like, you know, how good are the Sixers? Are they the best team in the NBA? We'll find out. But right about now, we're starting to see some of the things that happens. Now, who knows? Like, maybe next year, you know, some other things could change. But right now, we're starting to see them get in rhythm. And I'm not here to say, A, they just played Bobo squads. And I'm not here to say, B, hey, this team is ready to win a championship. What I'm saying is, it's like, you see what Doc Rivers is trying to put together here. You see how vital Joel Embiid is to this team. You see how Ben Simmons can be a defensive stopper. That's what I'm seeing. You see what type of role that Seth Curry could have. You see Danny Graham being a glue guy. That's what I'm seeing. So, again, we get to relax and we'll see what's going on. But at the same time, you can see what the coach is trying to do. Now, something else that you need to do is, I'm telling you, when you get done with this podcast, you need to do yourself a great favor and go get yourself a Built Bar. What you do is you log on to builtbar.com and you get a percentage off your next purchase. Now, if you don't know anything about Built Bar, I'm telling you, it's only the best energy and protein bar. It oozes with chocolate. It tastes so good. It's only like 200 something calories. It's by far the best protein bar I've had. And I don't take that lightly. You know, by saying that lightly, I have a lot of them, I mean, in the past. But this is by far the best. It's gooey, it's chewy, it's everything that you need. Do yourself a favor and get yourself a Built Bar. Now, you can download this podcast wherever you download podcasts at. You can also follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. The same for Instagram, Pompey on Sixers. That's P-O-M-P-E-Y on Sixers. You also need to know that this is the only podcast that covers the 76ers that comes to you 5 days a week, right? In addition to following me here, you need to follow me on Inquirer.com. You get your daily Sixers stories at Inquirer.com. Now, the thing is, to me, we all talk about Steph Curry and what Steph Curry is doing. And believe me, Steph Curry has been playing phenomenal, right? He's been a great addition for this team. I mean, Steph Curry is shooting 51.5% on threes, right? I mean, he's playing great. He's also the team's third leading scorer at 16.2 points. But the guy who has been playing phenomenally to me, the guy who, for the reason why the Sixers are 5-5-5-1, aside from Joel Embiid, is Tobias Harris. I mean, you look at Tobias Harris right now. Tobias Harris is showing us what it was like, what the fans in LA saw when he was with the Clippers. I mean, he is. You know, when he was with Brett Brown, let's keep it real, y'all. He was a guy who basically used to stay in the corner, and then he would, when he got the ball, it was like, okay, what do I do? You know, like, I don't know. It just would seem out of whack to me, right? He wasn't the guy that he is now. Right now, he seems more decisive. He seems more confident. He seems like, you know, he just seems like he's playing at an extremely high level, y'all. Now, again, we know some people might say, hey, we'll find out more when they go up against Brooklyn, when they go up against Miami, all those teams. But right now, like, if you would have told me that Tobias Harris was one of the teams, like, you know, statistically better defenders, I would say, man, get out of here, man. Get out of here. Now, I know that people blow by him. I know this and that. But he's averaging 1.5 blocks, 1.5 steals, right? So you look at him. Tobias has the second highest scoring average at 18.8 points per game. Like I said, he leads the team. He's tied for Ben Simmons with blocks on the team at 1.5. That's one ahead of Joel Embiid. Steals, he's tied with Ben Simmons on the team with steals at 1.5 per game, right? He's second on the team in assists at 3.2 compared to Ben Simmons' 7.2, right? He's third in the team on rebounds at 8.5. Joel averages 12.6, Ben 9.8, and he's 8.5. And Ben Simmons made his 1 3-point attempt. Dwight Howard made his 1 3-point attempt. But Tobias is second of the other guys, the guys who shot more than one time. Tobias is second. He's averaging 48.4 on 3-point attempts, right? Overall field goal percentage, overall, right now, he is fifth on the team at 500. Now, you have Dwight Howard shooting 73.7%, but we know the 1-3, bunch of dunks. Then you have Steph Curry at 56.1, Joel at 53.9, Ben at 51.8, and then you have Tobias at 50%. So Tobias has been balling, y'all. He really has. You know, Steph Curry, like I said, Steph is doing well too. You know, I mean, he's shooting 51.5% on threes. That's crazy. You know, I mean, that's crazy. He's shooting 100% at the foul line. I mean, 1,000%. Or, well, you gain 1,000%. 100% from the foul line. He hasn't missed one. You know, these two guys have been very vital. Now, we know what Ben Simmons is going to do. We know what Joel is going to do. But Tobias is showing that he can be that guy, at least early on, that he could be a guy that they could depend on. Now, what I would like to see is, again, you want to see what he can do when they go up against the elite teams. But for right now, I'm happy with what I see. I am, because in the past, see, the problem was never that Tobias couldn't play. The problem is, could Tobias play alongside Joel Embiid? He typically had his better games when Joel Embiid wasn't on the floor. Right now, they have developed into a nice 1-2 punch in regards to scoring. Now you got Seth Curry involved. It's kind of like stretching out the floor. But they all have roles in this starting lineup. Tobias and Joel are the scorers, and then you have Seth, right? Stretching the floor, getting stuff. Danny Green is kind of your glue guy, right? And then Ben is the facilitator. So everything kind of looks good for the 76ers, you know, right about now. And, you know, as Doc said, they're not quite there yet, but they're going to keep plugging away and they're going to get better. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. But you have to give Tobias Harris credit. You have to give Seth Curry credit for stepping up. Again, they're better than the teams that they played, but you have to give them credit for the things that they're doing. Again, you guys could subscribe to this podcast wherever you subscribe to your podcast at. You can follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. You can follow me on Instagram at Pompey on Sixers. And you can read my work on Enquirer.com, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and the Philadelphia Daily News. The Sixers, you know, there's a lot of people been talking about Matisse Thybulle. Right, and I spoke about him before. I'm not concerned about Matisse. Like, some may say, you know, Matisse has been in like a early slump, and it's true, he has, right? He has, but I'm not really concerned with that. I think he's going to get better. Matisse is averaging 2 points. He is shooting on 2-pointers. He's shooting 33%. Right. On 3-pointers, he is shooting 33%. That's crazy, right? He made all of his foul shots, right? So he's shooting 100% from there. And overall, he's shooting 33%. So, you know, my thing about Matisse is, you know, when you come down to it and you say to yourself, like, hey, we need Matisse Thybulle. Now, of course, you want to be able to make an open shot, but if you're saying to yourself, like, hey, it's late in the game, we got to run plays from Matisse Thybulle to win this game, well, then you got problems with all these other shooters on the team. You know, I just look for him to bring the energy on defense, not to be hesitant when it comes down to shoot the ball, stop passing up open shots, bury them, at least tempt them, right? That just helps teams defend the offense better, and it will make y'all less predictable. Like, people won't have to load up on everyone all the time. So just take the shot. Let's take it. You know, again, as I said in the first segment, you know, I want to see the Sixers bench be healthy. You know, right now I'm looking at it, and you say to yourself, like, if Shake Milton isn't going to produce and perform, then you're going to have some trouble, right? Some problems. I mean, you need somebody else to be a little bit more consistent. Now, again, Furkan would have been that guy. He missed the last 3 games. You look at Dwight. Dwight is good, but he's a center. You know, Tyrese Maxey, you know, the rookie, you know, he's averaging 5.5 points in 14.7 minutes. You know, his floater is good. You know, he's shooting 14.3 on threes. That's not really a shot for him. You know, you look at these young guys like Dakota Mathias, Vincent Poirier, Tony Bradley. You know, these guys, you don't expect them to be in a rotation right now. You know, Dakota can shoot the ball, but he's not expected to be in a rotation. So when I look at it, it's like, to me, you know, Mike Scott, you would like to see him get back. You would like to see Furkan get back. You know, something that can help the Sixers move forward. But right now, through 6 games, you know, they are basically showing us what they can. Now, the one thing that they need to show us is that they can win without Joel Embiid. That's it. They have to show that they can win without Joel Embiid. But again, for right now, you know, you have to be pleased with what you're seeing for the most part. And we'll learn more. Like, again, I considered these first 8 games, I said they would either go 7-2 or 8-1. You know, right now they have 2 more games to go. So if they split it, they go 6-2. If they win out the next 2, they go 7-1. And then that's when we see the stiffer competition. So it's a great stretch for them, though. You get 8 games to get everything together, and then you start playing. All right? Hey, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening, and have a blessed, blessed day. Peace.